The new British film, The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, has created quite a stir. It's being distributed in this country without a rating because the filmmakers refused to accept the X rating that it was given by the Motion Picture Association of America. The film stars Michael Gambon, who had the leading role in Dennis Potter's The Singing Detective. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
What's the hardest thing I've ever had to do for this radio show? Without a doubt, seeing The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover twice. The first time, all right. I thought, well, this is an elaborately silly movie with a lot of excrement smeared on for shock value, and someone will probably get hornswoggled into thinking it's hot stuff, but it'll drop dead in a week. That was 6 months ago, before the movie got slapped with the X rating that has made it a cause célèbre, before the New York Times and various other cultural arbiters decided that anything that smelled this bad must be a masterpiece, and before it became a surprise hit. So I decided I'd better look again, but what a pain. The director, Peter Greenaway, has said that his movie is a Jacobean revenge tragedy, a commentary on Thatcherism, an essay on fascism. What it really is, though, is a fancy and not very convincing portrait of a one-dimensionally evil gangster, played by Michael Gambon, and the vengeance he wreaks on his wimpy little wife, played by Helen Mirren, when he discovers she's taken a lover, played by mild-mannered Alan Howard. We know the lover represents goodness and culture, because he reads books. We also know that the lavish restaurant the movie takes place in represents the way art these days is taken over by evil consumerism, and that's because the restaurant is owned by the thief, the gangster, who noisily brutalizes the artistic cook along with everybody else. In this scene, the wife, Georgina, is telling a dinner guest named Michael all about herself, under the crude direction of her husband, the thief. What the thief doesn't know, of course, is that Michael is actually his wife's new lover.
I go to a good hairdresser.
Yes, the best there is.
I go to a good dentist.
Yes, yeah, oh yeah, he's Jewish.
I go to a good gynecologist.
You what?
Who says that it's unlikely that I'll ever have a baby.
Georgina, Marco doesn't want to know things like that.
That the three miscarriages I've had so far have ruined my inside.
Georgina, that isn't true. Marco doesn't need to know that. Now, drink up, Marco. Let's talk about you. What do you do?
I'm a gynecologist.
You're a what?
You could always come and see me.
That conversation almost, but not quite, resembles a conversation. Most of the rest of the dialogue is incredibly stilted and bombastic, and so is the filmmaking. Acts of grotesque brutality are tossed at us along with every imaginable bodily fluid, all of it in an atmosphere of subtly radiant cinematography, artfully gliding camera work, and lush, classical-sounding music. You're looking at art, the film proclaims, and if you flinch, you're a Philistine. Still, the way Greenaway waggles all that gooey biology at us can only make you feel that it's he, not the audience, who finds it all so disgusting. And why is it that the only lively, vivid character on the screen is that monstrous bully, the thief? After a while, it begins to dawn on you that the real victim in this movie is the audience, and the real bully, the filmmaker, the guy trying to intimidate you into proclaiming his genius. Greenaway has told the press that what he wants to show in this and his other films is how greed and consumerism snuff the passion and life out of us. And yet, this is one of the most lifeless, passionless films I've ever seen. Yes, giving a film like this the same rating as a porn movie is idiotic. But just because Peter Greenaway has been wronged by the ratings board doesn't mean he's made a masterpiece.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.